Well, a very good evening to you, and thank you for tuning into Terrace Talk here on Radio Kerry this Monday evening with me, Donal Berry. And what a great Monday evening it is too, as we congratulate the sporting women of Kerry on that fantastic double achievement over the weekend. Yes, Division 1 League football champions in tremendous style as well, it has to be said, over a very good Galway side, certainly heading into the game anyway. And what about that fantastic, real gutsy, I was going to say All North Kerry display, but it wasn't All North Kerry at all, of course, it was Kerry senior Camogie side, and they dug really deep to deliver their biggest day of all, winning out over Meath, of course, in the Division 2A Camogie final. And congratulations to both of them. It was a pleasure really to be inside in Croke Park to watch it, and it was a great day as well for their close friends and their family members and the whole lot to, I suppose, see the end of at least a bit of a journey for all the sets of the girls and the players. And congratulations, of course, to the management as well. It was a big day for them as well, and we'll get a bit of match reaction from them fairly shortly. And what a busy show we have this evening as well, as we bring you live coverage of Kerry's under 20 footballers as they begin their Munster Championship action under their new manager, I suppose, Tomás O'Shea. And that game will be live here from 7 o'clock. Now, we've sent John and Liam out of studios this evening around the corner, Toss and Sack Park, and they'll be checking in with them ahead of the game and during it and just after the full-time whistle as well for a small bit. And what about that amazing comeback yesterday by the Kerry Hurlers to secure a vital draw against Carlow and the Joe McDonagh? Certainly didn't look that way for a long stage of that game, but they certainly rolled their sleeves up and a fantastic last-minute puck to get an equaliser as well. And, of course, it wouldn't be Monday night if we didn't check in with our hurling panel as well. Now, give us a call, 066-712-3666, or text or WhatsApp us if it's easier for you on 083-300-3300. Keane is on the desk and the phone this evening, and if you want to be part of that show, contact us. Surely there's loads of you out there wanting to send in best wishes and congratulations to both our ladies and our footballing and Camogie sides this evening. And I suppose it is hard to imagine that the Kerry ladies won their first Division 1 title since 1991. I was looking back at it today, it's hard to imagine that's 31 years ago, how time flies. But it was an amazing performance, and just after the game I caught up with the joint manager Dara Long, who's in celebratory form, and Kerry star midfielder Lorraine Scanlon, who's following her mother's footsteps, believe it or not, having won a number of Division 1 league titles, and we'll catch a little bit from that interview now. Dara, look, I suppose Division 2 last year, Division 1 this year, what's the secret?
Oh jeez, blood, sweat and tears, Donal. A lot of effort has gone into this group for 3.5, probably 4.5 years now. I think we've 10 or 12 of our minor group that we had initially when we started this journey. Yeah, special feeling today. You know, did anyone see that performance coming? I suppose internally we always knew the girls were capable of really blowing a team away and dominating a game really from the first minute to the last. I think in every aspect of the game today, I think we were first to the ball, and the attitude, the effort was top class today. And to finish out after what 31 odd years and get a Division 1 title back to Kerry is massive, and look, we're just absolutely over the moon. Yeah.
Everyone will look at the scores and the goals and everything, but the bedrock was the defence. They turned over Galway a good few times early in the first set, and that kind of set the tempo of the game as well.
It did, yeah. Look, the defence was brilliant, but personally I think our defence started from 13-14-15. I think we put Galway's kickouts, we put them under savage pressure. I think the girls had them at 6 and 7s, especially in that first half. And look, that gives the girls back the field a couple of seconds that we need to get set and get our structures in place. And you're dead right. I think Eilish Lynch did Kayleigh Cronin get player of the match. Yeah, like, that girl could tug out for the Kerry senior men's next week. She's that good. And yeah, look, across the line, Kieran Murphy, Caught Lynch, Emma Sherwood, Aisling O'Connell. Look, we've three all-stars back there. And they're a phenomenal bunch. And I think, look, yeah, you're right, our backs set a tone. But I think our defending from 13-40-15 all the way back really, really set the tone there today.
And Croke Park's become a home for Kerry in recent times, thanks to you. How important was it, aspect, being back in Croke Park, having been in the All-Ireland final last year?
Yeah, it was huge. It was something, I think Aisling O'Connell spoke about it during the week. It's something very familiar to us now. I think 2 and a bit years ago when we came here, Meade handed our so-and-sos to ourselves. It was a big learning day for us, and I think the games we've played since Armagh, Mayo, the All-Ireland final last year and today, our routine and our travel day and our morning of the game has become very familiar to us, and it's something that doesn't faze the girls anymore. And yeah, while there wasn't a massive crowd here today, Croke Park and the awe of Croke Park can still get to some girls. And even young Amy Harrington, her first run out there today, like, did it face or not a bother? She should have scored. Look, she dropped it short, but look, we put that down to the exuberance of youth. But look, I think she got the calmness from the rest of the group, being so familiar with the surroundings up here today. And look, it's definitely something that's going to stand us going into the future.
Yeah, and I suppose, look, you had a tough call there with the goalkeeper. You had an all-star nominee from last year, and you had Mary Ellen Bulger who started today. That was a tough call, but it worked out very, very well. I thought Mary Ellen's kick was very, very good.
Yeah, look, Ciara Butler has been fantastic for us for the last couple of years, and look, this is no long-term call by us. Ciara got injured in a challenge game before the first round of the National League, and look, it gave Mary Ellen her chance, something she's waited 3 years for, and to be fair to the girl, she didn't put a foot wrong, and she played four games, Ciara played three, and it was such a marginal call. It was probably 51-49% kind of a call. The two girls are exceptional. When we first came into the group, this group, it was probably an area that we really needed to work on to get not one keeper, but two really good keepers. And I think we found that. And look, I'm delighted for Mary Ellen. I think she's been really focused for the last couple of days. And I think that kick out in the first half that she dropped short of the 21, but was so switched on that sprinted out, collected, and off we went. You know, again, I think she played brilliantly, and she was a real calming influence back there.
Your ability to get goals in this league has, stood you again, 5 today.
Yeah, look, it's something that we've... Probably is not something that we work on the whole time. It's just something that kind of comes for us. I think it's from our movement, right from the girls at the back all the way up the field. I think the off the shoulder running, the cuts, the loops, look, everything that we do practice, it's not particularly just to get goals, but it's to create those opportunities. And we're very fortunate that we have the likes of Hannah Louise, Shifra, Carmody, Anna, Lorraine Scanlon here next to me to be able to finish off those opportunities. So look, something that we try to coach and train and get into these girls is to create those opportunities up to them to take it. And look, we probably could have had a couple of more goals there today, but 5 goals on the biggest day of the year so far is very satisfying.
And is this just the start of the journey? I mean, championship 2 weeks time, like, you know, you'd be looking at that with huge confidence now.
Look, what a Division 1 title is going to do to this group is going to make us 10 foot tall, probably be another target on our back, you know, going into the championship in 2 weeks' time. But look, we'll enjoy the next couple of days. I think these girls have thoroughly deserved it from that first Saturday in November in Banna Beach. We had a little video of it there last night and brought back a lot of memories of what this work or what this success is built on. And we're going to enjoy it. The girls have thoroughly deserved it. And look, we look forward to the Munster Championship. New competition for us. We start again from zero, and hopefully we can be successful in that as well.
Had you a nice time in Texas?
Great time in Texas, yeah.
Lorraine, congratulations. I suppose it's a very special day for you as well. You can finally tell your mum that you're a winner in Croke Park.
Yeah, I suppose a long time coming. I think we haven't been in a Division 1 final since 1991, so... Yeah, I should say she wasn't even thinking of me at that stage. So, but it's great to, as I said, get a result on one of the biggest days of the year.
It was a hugely impressive performance from start to finish. Did you know that you had that performance in you as a team? I mean, it's a huge score. It's a massive win. It's probably one of the biggest Division 1 wins in an awful long time for a team. Did you know you had that in the locker?
I think we always had a belief in ourselves that we could pull out a performance like that. We're just happy that it was today that it came off. I mean, like, going into the game, we knew that Galway were very dangerous. You know, they're a very strong running team down the middle, so I suppose that was something we had looked at. And then I suppose, look, pressing their kickouts, and I think our forwards worked really well there in the first half. They turned over a lot of ball, and that kind of that set the tone for the rest of the game. We got a kind of few nice scores off that, and then our backs had some phenomenal turnovers there. I think we turned them over 5 times in the first half, you know, just by stopping up their runs. So, like, that's a great kind of pressure release for us as well, you know.
How much of an enjoyment is that for a midfielder to know that your backs are winning ball, they're getting you on the ball straight away? I mean, normally the midfielders are kind of tracking back, trying to defend as such, but you've really got a defensive unit that are willing able to take care of themselves.
Oh no, massive defensive unit back there. And as you see, like, Kayleigh there kind of runs the show, and she's well supported by, like, Alicia Murph from the back. And then you have, like, Ash Connell, like a massive, like, attacking wing back, and Caught, like, as well, and Imogen holding centre. Like, there's massive, like, strength in that back line. As you said, we've full faith in them back there, you know, and they're very organised. They have a system, they stick to that system, and they play it off to a tee then.
Mm-hmm. There was a time that Lorraine Skillen was the young person on the team. You're moving up a little in status, but how great is it to share this moment with the likes of Louise and Caught and all those that you've played with from minor up?
I suppose we've had a lot of disappointments together, so, you know, it's great to share days like these together as well. We've had, a few tough days here, but it's massive now to be able to complete a Division 1 final here today, and we're just delighted. We're over the moon, and it's about to do with that group of girls and the younger group of girls. I think, like, it's a very special group we have here in Kerry, and the younger crew are, you know, a massive boost to this team, and they bring loads of energy, and, you know, they keep their heads up.
Is it important or end, do you think? I know you won Division 2 here last year, but to win a big final here in Crawford?
Yeah, I suppose Division 2 final set us up for, you know, the championship last year, and it's the same again this year now. Like, this Division 1 final, it's just going to set us up for championship. So, like, I think we're out now and the week after next in the Munster Championship. So I suppose, as I said, like, we'll enjoy maybe the next few days, but then it's back to work again and kind of getting our work together now for the next few weeks, next few months again.
There you go, that was Lorraine Scanlon. She says, interesting, set us up for championship. It's amazing to have one eye on that already. Of course, they secured their first league title in Division 1, of course, since 1991, which is amazing. 31 years, where does the time fly? Dan Kearney's on the line. Dan, good evening. Thanks for taking the call. First of all, you made it home safe and sound from Craw Park?
I did, yeah. I got a drive off pretty O'Shea there, and great company all the way down, in fairness. We talked about nothing but the game, so that shortened the journey a good bit.
Yeah, you had your own 4-hour Terrace Talk on the way down the road, fair play to you. We were watching the match together on Saturday, and it was very evident from early in the game that it was going to be Kerry's day. What impressed you most about this performance?
Well, I suppose from the off, Donal, they just took command of the game. Like, albeit Galway got the very first score of the game, but then Kerry just completely took over. Their defence was outstanding. Dara alluded to it there in his interview. From the off, they were just on Galway's backs. You know, they were hunting in packs. They were letting nothing behind them. And then when they attacked with purpose. You know, there was no dilly-dallying around with the ball. You know, they got the ball into the dangerous forwards as quickly as possible. Into Louise. Louise laid it off very well a few times. So did Shifra. So did Hannah. Hannah was outstanding, particularly in the second half. You know, she scored 1-3 there, all in the one goal. Like, she was really on fire yesterday. And then outside them, you had the likes of Carmody and Anna Galvin chipping in with a couple of points. And, you know, Niamh Ní Chonaicore had, you know, I wrote about her last week, like, that she's having the season of her life. And she was absolutely brilliant. She scored 2-1 there the last day. So that was the key. The hunting, the hurrying, the, you know, not letting Galway get any momentum, and then getting the ball into the forwards as quickly as possible, and the damage was done there. And that for me was the main thing about Kerry's performance the last day. All they did not let Galway settle on the ball.
Mm-hmm. And they didn't let off either, because I was looking at my notes there, and at one stage Kerry led 4-11 to 4 points. I mean, that's kind of nearly unheard of in a Division 1, particularly with two teams that, you know, topped the group and hid away in. Interesting, Lorraine talks about setting up for championship and the whole lot. They look championship ready already, don't they?
Oh, they are. They're very much championship ready. And, you know, I suppose, look, you'd look at it one way and you say, are they too championship ready? Have they peaked too soon? But look, the lads know the story. They're going to get them back down again. You know, they have a big campaign ahead of them. I mean, they have 3 games in Munster in the Royal Ramon, and then you're looking at a final in Munster, and then you go into the All-Ireland series where you're looking at a group of 3 again, like, and you have another 2 games, quarter-final, semi-final, and hopefully a final. So there's a very, very long campaign to play yet. So have they peaked now this time? Yes, they have. Do they need to go back down? Of course they do, and then they need to come back up again. But I'm you know, I've full confidence that they will do that. Like, but look, the football that they're playing is absolutely splendid. You know, it's brilliant. It's lovely to watch. And I think, you know, the confidence that gave them the last day, they're a team that are very, very much playing for each other. And any team that plays for each other, you know, is going to win. You know, it's a winning combination, you know. And the two lads on the sideline, they've done a fantastic job. And the rest of their management, it must be said, like, you know, the whole lot of them, they're a very, very together bunch. And like you said, they're championship ready now. I think they'll hit the championship running against Waterford on Saturday week. And, you know, they're in with a serious shout this year, there's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. It's great to see them in that mix. I suppose we've often hoped that they were in the mix, but I think it's fair to say we certainly are good and ready for a championship at the moment. A person who's certainly good and ready and has really come on in leaps and bounds over the last number of years and caught the eye again the last evening, Kayleigh Cronin. She's just turned into I suppose not to build it up too high, but she has certainly pushed herself through the glass ceiling and moved into that kind of, I suppose she's a leadership role there in the full back line. But I mean, not only that, she lends herself going forward. She's clever enough to get up the field as well, looking for a pass. Maybe sometimes it doesn't come her way or going for it. But I mean, she has really turned into a complete footballer.
She's a Rolls Royce of a footballer. There's no other way of describing her. Like, I mean, you know, we were next to each other there in the press box zone, and we saw there three times in a row she intercepted passes in, you know, just outside the 21, around the 21, when Galway were threatening, came down the field. That time when Lauren Scanlon found her out on the left-hand side, coming in towards the Davin end of the field, and she took a hop. She took a solo. She showed to the right, you know. She went past, I think it was the Galway centre-back. She went past her, left her for dead on the outside, and then passed him to Louise for the goal. That's unbelievable skill. Do you know, that's, I suppose, it's Dr. Croak stuff in a way, like, if you think about it, like, she's watching them long enough, you know, and the great fathers that have come out of there. But she really, she's a brilliant footballer, absolutely brilliant reader of the game, and, you know, I thought she was outstanding last day. But she's outstanding every time she puts on a Kerry jersey, Donal, and she's just, you know, she's on the way she's going, like, she's looking at another All-Star, even, you know, as early as we are in the season already, like, you know, we don't want to preempt it, but she is, you know, she's outstanding. There's no other word for her.
Mm-hmm. Just go back to that championship. It takes in some fellow very clever already saying, is it true that Kerry have to win 9 games to win the All-Ireland? It sounds a bit much, but that is the truth. That is, I mean, like, the Munster campaign normally would have been kind of a semi-final knockout and a final, but group stages now. I presume the theory behind that is to give more players more games, probably, and get teams ready. But it does, if you look at other provinces, I suppose, in Connacht has only got 2 senior teams. Leinster probably has the 3 this year, maybe as well. And there's probably either 4 or 5 possibly up in Ulster at the moment as well. Is that going to be a draw on the panel? Particularly, I suppose, looking at the game, the Cork is the game that everybody's going to look at. But you're going to have to play Cork in the preliminary and look all going well. And I suppose, judging on, I suppose, the form, you'd imagine Kerry and Cork would be in the Munster final as well. 2 games against Cork very early in the championship. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I suppose, look, you have to play what's in front of you, and that's the way it's panned out. Like, you know, I suppose, look, all through the league, I suppose you go back to the league again, Kerry, they've mixed it up. I mean, every game that they played, the lads changed it, you know, 6 or 7 places on the team, like, you know. So I suppose they did that in the league with, you know, a thought towards the championship. So again, they're going to have to mix it up a small bit. Like, you know, I mean, I wouldn't expect, even, you know, if we were talking about the Waterford game, I wouldn't expect Kerry to play the same team that played in the final, but maybe they will. I don't know, we'll wait and see. But, like, definitely it's going to call on the panel. There is a lot of games, there is an awful lot of football to be played. Like, it's a new season again, if you think about it, like, really, you know. And look, it's going to draw on them, there's no doubt about it. Like, but we'll wait and see the early rounds and see how they go. Like, if they get into Munster final, I mean, like, it'd be nice to win Munster as well. Like, you know, they haven't won it in a few years. It would be nice to win Munster, but I've no doubt, and you can see it even from the interviews that we did over the weekend, you could see it that they're all thinking towards championship already. Mm-hmm. That's in their thought process. You know, they feel that we have a serious chance this year of actually winning the All-Ireland. It's going to be a long, long road, but, you know, they will have a chance of doing it even at that.
Yeah, well, look, I suppose last Saturday night they ended 1 famine in the league. Bexham 91 would have been nice to come to the middle of August and in that other big famine that we'd love to see ended here as well. Listen, Dan Carey, thank you for your time here this evening on Terrace Talk and over the course. You certainly have been a bit of a lucky charm anyway, so and we'll see, can we get you a few more lifts across the country there with Breida as well? I'm sure it'll be the highlight as well for you. Listen, Dan Carey, thanks very much. After break, we will turn our attention to Camogie.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now you're listening to Terrace Talk until 8 o'clock this evening. Well, actually, it's going to be a lot later than 8 o'clock this evening, of course, because we have a game coming up at 7. Congratulations to the Kerry ladies football team and Camogie team on their league title wins. Best wishes to them all the rest of the year, and that comes from Charles. And what an achievement by the Kerry ladies footballers and hurlers. And that comes in, of course, from Seamus Murphy, living down there in Waterford. Quarragus Galair, Goddive Galair, Kerry in Crow Park yesterday. I'm exceedingly proud of them as a Kerry supporter. Thank you, Seamus, and thanks for tuning in this evening. And stay with us, Seamus, as well, because we'll be listening to Kerry versus Clare from 7 o'clock. Now, the Kerry Camogie team, I suppose they wrote their own very significant page in Kerry sporting history yesterday when Pat Ryan's side produced the goods late, I suppose, to secure the Division 2A title. And probably more importantly, a place at the top table of Camogie next season. Kerry will be in Division 1 of the Camogie next season. That is an amazing. And I suppose a lot of people put that pat along the way. And of course, I think tonight, of course, of Ian Brickham for the road that he laid as well for a number of years, getting him up to this level, and all the other people that lent their support and time and energy and the whole lot. But I have to say, since we started following Kerry Camogie's side over the last number of years here on Terrace Talk, we've got to know a lot of them. And I suppose it was great to see them yesterday get their just reward, I suppose, for all the hard work that they put into their game. And I was there on Sunday, of course, along with other Hard and Kerry fans, I suppose, mostly close friends and family members, to see them win what was a historic match, and it'll go down as a historic match. And afterwards, I rambled down to the Hogan Stand Press Centre, where I suppose they bring all the very important people after games in for their match reactions. And I suppose all over the years, you know, all the brilliant managers and the players and the players of the game and the football and hurling and the whole lot. And yes, yesterday, it was the turn of Patrice Diggins and Pat Ryan to take that limelight, and I was the first to catch up with them. Pat, first of all, congratulations. A campaign that started in Fitzgerald Stadium ended up in Crow Park. It was a historic, and what are you feeling? What are your thoughts?
It's just brilliant. Like, so happy. Like, I mean, happy is the word. And, you know, after people being through COVID and everything, like, what a day. Like, what a day for the young people, young girls that are great ambassadors for Kerry. What a day. And Kerry football yesterday, like, I mean, the women of Kerry have led the way.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Was that something that was conscious this morning when you woke up? I mean, you stayed in the same hotel as the ladies footballers. You kind of followed the same path. You saw them win yesterday. Was that something that spurred you on as well?
I think more so for the girls, like, more than myself. Maybe the girls, I know they were shouting on the girls watching TV there yesterday. So I'd say more for the girls than myself, really. I just had to focus on my group. Maybe, you know.
Yeah. Focusing on the group, I mean, the first half, I suppose, it Kerry didn't perform as well as he could have performed. Still got in at half time, well in touch. Second half, though, I mean, what do you say at half time? Because it came out into a far more open game as well.
Yeah, we just kept it simple. Like, we just, you know, we had a few home truths, simple talk, and we gave one or two instructions, and the girls responded. That's all. It was about a minute. We spoke for a minute, and that was it.
And one of the Warriors that always seems to respond with a bit of talking is Jackie Horgan. Fantastic second half.
Yeah, well, she battled hard, and she was under a bit of pressure in her then, but I said, look, go up midfield, you have the hurling, and she did. She responded to it, and some great scores.
Yeah. Patrice, you were here in 2019. Is this a little bit more special?
Yeah, look, I suppose any day you walk out in Croke Park, it's probably a special moment. But I suppose the exciting thing about winning today, I suppose, is you're actually pushing up to Division 1B, and I think that's going to drive Kerry Camogie to another level. So I suppose, look, 2019, you're delighted you're getting to meet it, and now this year you're winning, you're getting into, you know, you're going up with the top guns now. So I suppose, look, it's a massive special day for Kerry Camogie to be entering into Division 1B next year.
Yeah, that's a huge point by Patrice Pett. I mean, it's Division 1 Kerry Camogie. I mean, God, I remember we weren't even allowed in divisions at 4 and 5 and down. We're there now. With a lot of great people have brought us there as well. But where can we kick on from here?
Well, look, I suppose we had a load of minors with us today that, you know, can't play this year but came with us. They train with us all year, so it was like Christmas came for them this morning when they were heading to Crow Park. You see it in them. They were the first up for the breakfast. So I think that's really the future, really.
Yeah. Great scenes, of course, after the game. Fierce emotional scenes. These are real treasured moments for that journey, aren't they?
I suppose those are the wet nights we trained in Kerry. I think every night we've been there, we got drenched wet, and your dark nights driving home, even you're there. Like, this is the day. You can't buy this. You know, you can't buy this feeling. It's why you love hurling. It's why Pete Young said we're playing the greatest game in the world, and no disrespect to any other sport. And to be fair to Kerry, you know, there's room for football, there's room for camogie, there's room for hurling. And one thing about the media in Kerry, the coverage you give the girls is incredible. And that's massive. And they deserve it.
Patrice, it'll be an easy spin home this evening, will it?
Yeah, it'll definitely shorten the journey. I think if we were on the other side of that point, they're not going to get into the bus today.
Yeah.
But, like, you don't care if it takes you till tomorrow even to get home now. Once that cuff is on the front of the bus, we don't care.
How difficult, like, of a game was it for you to play? I mean, Croke Park, I mean, some people have been there before, but, I mean, it's not a place that you play every day of the week. Does it take you a bit of time to settle into the pitch and the surrounds?
Yeah, I suppose, look, I know you can say it's just another field, it's just another game, but you're always coming out. It's breathtaking. You know, you walk out onto that field, the size of it, even just the surroundings of it. You know, you could say you're going into Aston Stacks, into Fitzgerald Stadium, but not in comparison to the size you're going out there. And I suppose it probably just takes you that few minutes to get to the pace of the game, because it's just, you see yourself at the surface there. The ball is just pinging from end to end the whole time. So, you know, it takes time to get up to speed, I suppose. Yeah,
a word on me, Pat. I mean, you played them so often now, I suppose you're getting well used to them. But they didn't give up at all, and they had a chance of a goal there just before full time, or even in injury time. What were your thoughts when that flashed?
Oh, geez, last for words really, but they're a great team. They're a very good team, like, and you know, Ethan Noak dominated a lot, fair to Patrice Quaitner in the second half, but you know, it's good an athlete as any sports out there, you know, and they're a very good team. We knew that. Oh my god, we did. They've been playing senior camogie a long time as well. So just look, 1 point win is better than
a 1 point win, that's all you need to win any final, and thank God, I suppose, the Kerry senior camogie team done it yesterday over Meath. Fantastic achievement. It was, as I said, it was absolutely outstanding to be there. And I don't think it matters. A lot of people sending in text saying that, you know, there was a poor attendance and there wasn't many people at the whole lot. I think the most important people that wanted to go to it were at it. And from the players' perspective, I suppose, after the game, they met those, their, as I said, close friends and family, and people travelling down. I want to thank Owen O'Shea, of course, the Kerry camogie PRO as well, for helping us out throughout the year, setting up a lot of interviews and giving us a lot of access, I suppose, to the players as well, which is rare enough, I suppose, in this day and age. Thank God it's not rare enough to get access with James McCarthy and Richardo Foran. They're on every night now at the moment. I have to get a little stool from here beside me, and both back this evening. Now, of course, they're on because the Kerry senior hurlers were back in action, and Joe McDonough yesterday. They needed a superb second half for fight back, I suppose, to rescue a point with the last puck of the game. As I said, I'm delighted to have James McCarthy and Richard looking back on that. Richard, I'll start with you this evening. I think it's only fair to start with you. You used to be the most important man in Ballyhig, I'd imagine, but Micheál Lean has, after taking that status off you with his late puck yesterday, I'm sure.
Well, first of all, I have to mention the Camogie. I suppose the first PRO for a couple of years, and I was up there in 2019 when they won. So a great day, and congratulations to them and to the Kerry ladies footballers as well. Yeah, Micheál Lean, yes, it was his birthday. he gave us the present yesterday, actually. So yeah, an intriguing game of hurling it was. This was the first half. Carlo really, I suppose, became our second best against Carlo in the first half. They were physically very strong. They were winning the high ball. Now I know that if you go a chance now in offense, I suppose, you know, if I were Carlo, I'd be disappointed and tap those over the bar, because a lot of those goal chances, you know, Kerry had gotten a lot of players back, and they had really packed the square. So and Carlo kept persisting trying to get the goal, and I suppose they weren't going to get through. That Kerry defence were outstanding, but at the end of the day, you know, a point with the last puck of the game, and what an intriguing game, but a great game only.
Mm-hmm. And Richard, it wasn't just an ordinary point, it was superbly worked play as well. I mean, it was a sideline pass back, I suppose, in a sense, picked up and shot straight away. There was no dilly-dallying on it. It was kind of all or nothing. That takes a lot of mental strength, I'd imagine, to know that ball has to go the 40, 50 yards and straight through the post. But Mr. Lean has that in his calendar, hasn't he?
He has. I thought that Shane might have a go, what happened to us over in Killarney against Offaly. I thought he'd have a goal, but of course, if you missed it, then it was a real pressure shot, I suppose. But then when it went back to Michael and he hit it straight and through over the lat, it was a great strike, in all fairness. And you know, great recovery in the second half, as in the first half. You know, Carlo with the better side, but then you know, the second half, you know, I suppose we came into it more, brought on a few subs, I suppose, that really improved our game, and you know, it brought us back into the game. And look, probably, you know, Carlo will be disappointed they didn't have get the two points, but we'll be glad to be getting a point from that game. It was a valuable point.
Mm-hmm. James, when we look back at the end of the Joe McDonagh, and if Kerry get to the final, this would have certainly been a point won rather than a point lost.
No, definitely. I'd say we were hanging on up to half time, Donald, to be fair to Carlo. And you saw what Keller did to Kildare last week. Mm-hmm. They got five goals. They thought, right, let's do the same now to Kerry. Let's get rattling one or two goals, and that could finish the game. If we concede a goal or two for half time, I think we're in trouble. you could talk about massive comebacks, and Michael Ian's point might never have happened. But looking enough, we hung on to our coattails with 24 points at half time after not playing great. Mm-hmm. And Carlo had really bossed us, really in fairness. And we were defending, but less superb defending. God, it was mad. Well, at times it was really helter skelter, some kind of goal line clearances and everything, but you kept your goal intact. I think that was massive. Carlo, go for goals. You saw against Kildare. We'll be interested now the next weekend because they play Leash. So, like, we'll see how they get on there. I know we have a tough one ourselves, like, but we got to. Where was it? Newbridge as a
well.
Yeah,
yeah.
We don't know where we go, but it doesn't matter. But
I've been there a few times, James. Don't worry.
You know, it's all you'll find it. But it was, you know, we needed the lift at half time. We needed, and like, you know what? It's maybe a good idea, because a lot of teams now seem to be finishing with their strongest team rather than starting with their strongest team, knowing that games are won in the second half. You go, I know the only thing you can lose them in the first half, but you need to win them in the second half maybe. And the lads that came in, like Jason Diggins, Del Collins, and like Podge, the influence they had was huge. You're not bringing in young lads either, you're bringing in massive experience, guys who know how to treat this game. But we've got to settle in here now, we've got to win a few balls, win a few frees, and you know, it really helped our lads.
And they're able to score off the bench as well, which is huge. John Brendan made an outstanding save, you know, through the course of the game, and Dara Shen, I think he was down on top of Chris Nolan a few times as well, flying blocks and the whole lot. How important is it, James, in a game where there's a team so evidently better than you at a stage, that it is that you have to hang in and that you have to scramble, I suppose, defensively and the whole lot? And that's what Kerry were very good at yesterday.
Yeah, though, in fairness, well, that's the mentality. That's a togetherness in the group. You could say, one fella could say, oh, we've got to dig in here now. But if the whole group don't buy into that, you're in trouble. And like we might say, yes, they finished their strongest team. But Jesus, every fella in that first half, they dug into a man. In fairness, they know, because you were hanging in. You really were hanging in. And Carlo were going for the juggler. Carlo could sense a bit of blood there, and they knew themselves. We went here and Kerry say we're setting ourselves up, and the lads really stuck in there and said, brilliant goal and clearances, like, and brilliant things all over the field, like, and even going back to the game itself, probably having Shane on the free, Shane coming on the free. I think we're getting to a point now with Kerry at the minute where we're getting lads back into their top form. We really are getting lads to their top form. So I think maybe, like, the league stood us well. I think, I know we've had disappointment from the league, but it stood us well now. You can see lads are really coming to themselves now. Yesterday was a serious game of Hurling Donegal. It really was. Now it was 21 points. Like, that's good score. Whatever day you go and get 21 points, you could have added a goal or two. We didn't have that many goal chances. Carlo had a couple, all right. Like, but you can see lads are really coming to the fore now. And I expect, hopefully, Kildare at this stage might be thinking, God, we're out of it. I hope they do think that. They've had two losses now, two bad losses. So you'd hope that we go up there next weekend and give another last mess him out of the picture. Mm-hmm. Don't know how the final breakdown of the Joe McDonagh is. Is it like the league? Is it just one first top team into the final and the other two play a semi-final? Not sure how it breaks down, but
It's the top two pass the post, get to the final, and of course the other reward, of course, is there's an All-Ireland preliminary games for both of them as well, so it would be nice to get in there. Currently Offaly on 4, Carlow and Kerry on 3, Laois on 2, Kildare and Down yet to score points, I suppose, after two games. Richard, we were talking about Laois last week. They gave Down some hiding, didn't they?
They did. You know, they're a serious side. They've been playing obviously at a higher level to the rest of us, you know what I mean? So they're a serious side. I saw them actually against Waterford there earlier on the year, and they really put it up to Waterford and give them a good game of it. So yeah, they're a serious side. Very, very good. They had a great battle, obviously, with Offaly beat. So, you know, it's certainly it's going to be tough. You know, it's going to be so competitive. And the thing is that teams can take points off other teams. You know, it's going to be really tight, especially, I think, between the top four. So, I mean, last year we lost two games and got to the final. You know, how it was a very, very strange sort of a year. But, you know, it's going to be really, really tough and very competitive this year. But we have to go up to Kildare. But there's one thing I suppose that's very positive. We were driving a lot of wides in the league. The last two games now, you know, I don't know what our white count was yesterday, but certainly we've sharpened up our shooting an awful lot, and that's a positive thing to see.
Mm-hmm, absolutely, of course. Every point, I suppose, score will be vital going forward. James, the trip to Kildare next week, it's not Newbridge or nowhere, it's Hawkfield. I see Michael Dignan giving out or having certainly a pot shot at the venue. Obviously, it's the centre of excellence, I suppose, to put it into grass terms. You're going to Curran's as opposed to going to Aston Stack Park. Does the venue make a difference?
They would really. Like, maybe they wouldn't get a huge crowd. Their crowd would be the same anyway, I think. It's just the venue itself. Like, if we went, like you say, from us in fact to Corns, there's no comparison. You can't compare the two venues. Like, that's in fairness to Corns, though, and Ossetek's a superb stadium. Kerry would want to play in Ossetek's all the time because it's maybe the Kildare lads train the Hawkfield all the time. Maybe they think, look, there's an advantage there. Maybe there's something to be gained from it. Maybe Kerry up there, we need to win this Sunday. Do they look at it and say, look, we've lost two, we're not out of it, but if we lose Sunday, we are out of it. Is it a do or die? I think Kerry lads should take no notice of that. Like, they owe Kildare one. We owe Kildare one, that's a fact. We owe Offaly one.
We owe a lot of teams one, I said, James. But come here, it is very important because obviously if you inflict a defeat in Kildare, that's the motive of it, effectively. They have three losses. Kerry will have 5 points and it'll get you ready, Richard, for the bigger games that are coming down the track, which would probably be, I suppose, this stage, Leash and Offaly, and you'd be hoping to get at least get one over and one of those at least. A win is exceptionally important, or a win is just the only result that Kerry can leave Richard Kildare with the next day?
Oh, we have to win. It's just simple, but there is no question about it. We have to win. Even though last year, I suppose, in our first game, we lost against Down, but I think, you know, we got into the final. There was, you know, we didn't expect Carlow to beat Offaly, and they did, and we went up and we beat Antrim, so that was that. Things fell in our favour. We have to beat Kildare. Now, I think that Kildare probably would prefer to play and St Conlon's because it's a tighter pitch, but look, it's out in Hawkfield and Kerry will go out there, and I think that the wider pitch would probably suit Kerry a lot better because they like to have a running game rather than a tight game. But we have to win, and then we see after that. Now, we are capable, you know. Yeah, I suppose it's not going to be easy. We know the calibre of Leash and Offaly, but look, we have to remain positive and you know, get over Offaly first of all, or get over Kildare, big plan first of all, and then we think about Offaly and Leash.
Mm-hmm. And of course, James, you've been touting for Carlow secretly all through the year, even during the league when they weren't performing. You were saying they were hiding players and they were playing in colleges and they'd all be back when they needed. Carlow not out of this either.
No, Carlow came down. Carlow's look a serious team, though. They do. They impressed me now. I thought they were coming good, like, but what I saw there, I saw Jesus, is they're three good forwards. You need good forwards to win in this league, and I'd be very interested in knowing their match against Leash this weekend. I know we have a big game ourselves. We have to be Kildare. No questions about it. We have to be Kildare. If we don't, we might as well stay above there. Waste time. Because you're two tough games that he has Offaly and Leash. Leash is your last game. So maybe, like, that Offaly game becomes huge. Then if you win against Kildare, the Offaly game then is do or die. That'd be huge. But I'd be interested now to see how Carlow get on with Leash at the weekend. I think that'll be saucy enough. They won't fear Leash in the least bit. We can't forget too, Carlow are the first winners of Joe McDonagh. Mm-hmm. Leash won it as well the year after them, like, so these are all former winners of Joe McDonagh, like, and to have twice. But they've been there before, and there's landlines on this. We're on that 2018 team, like, so I wouldn't rule Carlow out of beating Leash at all. I know Leash are very impressive, but Offaly did a number on them. They knew how to handle them. I think the Carlow boys have no fear of them either.
Absolutely. James, before we wrap up, the under-20s last game, Leash again, of course. Not a win, not a result, I suppose, that you were looking for. Performance-wise, though, it was decent, wasn't it?
It was, you know, it was our best performance, Donal. Christ, you always feel kind of disappointed when your last game's your best performance. You're thinking, oh, jeez, why didn't we do that the whole league? Like, we kind of, that performance would have beaten the other two teams handy. Like, and Leash were the best team in the group, and maybe, you know, we matched them for an awful long time, but in the last 5 minutes, they had a bit extra. They were very, very sharp, nice hurlers. They had a big impact off their bench. There was a couple of young lads that came in for them, and they were very, very good. But the lads did very, very well. I was delighted with them that they finished really on a high, and, you know, with a bit of luck in a couple of places. They got two lucky goals, Leash turned the game at vital points against us, and, you know, it's a pity because I think there would be, we'd love a crack at a Westmeath or an Offaly in the quarter final, and I think you wouldn't be far off them at all. But you've got to be consistent. We just weren't consistent enough in the games that we needed to be, and it's a pity.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, it is a learning curve and the whole lot. Richard, I was going to end with you on the camogie in that sense anyway, being the former Prioral. Come here, a lot of people made that journey possible. I suppose you don't win a final in one day and the story starts and begins there. A lot of great people done an awful lot of work, I suppose, getting there to the end. But looking back at it and your time involved in it, how pleasing is it for you to see those players achieve so big now?
I think it's just unbelievable. I know, you know, you go back over the years and you see that the peak that Kerry had with regard to Camogie. And, you know, I went to many a game and they played against counties who would have been much stronger and they put up great battles and so on and so forth. But now they're in Division 1 from such a small peak. And, you know, it is absolutely unbelievable what they have achieved with the commitment and the training. But I suppose we've got to look at it too. I suppose, you know, that the Dukas would be there, you know, the hurling culture would have been there with a lot of those girls, you know, and, you know, I suppose, and it would be in their families and that passion would have been there. So that really helps. But like from such a small pick and with the resources that Kerry Camogie have to be now marching to Division 1, so what can you say about that? That's absolutely outstanding. And I saw them firsthand, the training they do when I was involved as PRO. They never complained, they worked hard, they were out in every type of weather, and they were totally relentless, they were perfectionists, and it was constantly excellence, the strove for excellence at all times, and they're an absolutely outstanding bunch of women, you know, and fair play to them, and our Kerry ladies footballers as well. You know, the women of Kerry, certainly Monaghan and Rioch, it was a great weekend for them.
Absolutely fantastic weekend. Yes, I thought I was going to live in Croke Park at one stage. You know, the crowd at the gate nearly knew my name. I was going in and out so often, which hopefully will continue. I won't complain at all. Yeah, it was very easy to get into Croke Park yesterday. Press pass needed or not needed, no bother whatsoever. And there wasn't too many sitting up there, but you know what, you have to support them as well, and they were fantastic. Guys, thanks very much. We'll keep an eye on Kildare next week, and we'll get back and we'll chat about it. Hopefully we'll get that win that we need before we set ourselves up for, I suppose, the back straight of the Joe McDonough. And you know, we are coming into form now at the moment, which is absolutely fantastic. And the Kerry Hurlers, of course, you know, they're not too far away from breaking that glass ceiling as well. But we'll keep an eye on it with James and Richard over the next number of weeks. Thanks very much, guys. We'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, huge congratulations to Kayleigh Cronin from everyone, Dr. Crokes even. We're so proud of her and can genuinely say that she is as much as role model on and off the pitch as she is on the field, giving her time and expertise to all the ages, from academy right up to mothers and others. And it's more to Kayleigh. Yeah, absolutely fine words there, Kayleigh Cronin. Congratulations to the Kerry ladies on a wonderful win on Saturday. Everyone was outstanding. That's from a Southern Gael supporter, and there's an awful lot of Southern Gael supporters down there supporting their own, of course. Having the captain as well helps as well. Fantastic. Now we're turning our attention to the Air Grid Munster Under 20 Football Championship semi-final. It is Kerry versus Clare, and we sent John and Liam out tonight. I suppose they're getting expenses from leaving here and going around the corner, I suppose. Liam is certainly clocking up the expenses, John Kennedy, in Croke Park the last day as well. I don't know what he was doing there, to be honest with you, but he fits very comfortably into a press seat, John.
Oh yeah, he was looking well. I saw the photographs, Donald. He looked very, very well.
That's half the battle.
Very composed, in fairness.
He had a nice jacket on and everything. My God, we have a lot of work to do, John Kennedy, to catch up with him. A lot of work tonight as well, because it is the Under 20 Championship, John Kennedy. And I suppose every year we sit down and we say, this could be the year, this could be the year. And of course, I have to go back and do a bit of looking around. 2008 was the last time that we won this all the way to the end. And going through the team, I mean, it was an amazing team. Tomás McInsear was in goal, Colin O'Mahony, Ballydunhu, Mike Maloney, Crokes, Shane Enright, cornerback, Aidan Shine, of course, from Drummond, Killian Young, Renard, Gavin Duffy, Rahelis, of course, David Moore was midfield for Rahelis, Alan O'Sullivan to assist later, Crokes, of course, Kieran O'Leary, Crokes, Johnny Buckley, of course, Crokes, Michael Dunhu, Stem, of course, from Spa, Paddy Corn, Warfield, Tommy Walsh, Paul Connor, Kinmare, John Kennedy, that is what it took to win an All-Ireland in 2008, and some of them became massive, massive stars. Tonight's team, is there a massive, massive stars in the making?
I suppose it remains to be seen, Donald, but that team certainly, a lot of household names there, and it showed the level that's required. You know, we know little enough about this Kerry team. going in as big favourites. You know, Clare got over Tipperary. I think it was a bit of a surprise. People thought Tip would win it. But look, it's first game is always about winning and getting that bit of momentum going. It's a new management team. We were just speaking about it, Liam and myself, off the air there. Very impressive. You know, likes of Seamus Mine and Tomás O'Shea, Brian Sheehan, and former chairman Sean Welch. You know, huge experience, huge respect there. And it's about hitting the ground running tonight. Look, getting a result and getting to the final.
Liam, pick up John's point there. I mean, most of the story in the major national headlines is the manager Tomás O'Shea taking over, obviously, of the famous O'Shea family. 199 games he played for Kerry, a bit like yourself at all age groups as well. Seamus Mynan, Brian Sheehan, Sean Walsh. Is the story really about these succeeding, or will that kind of take away the glare from the team? And maybe at times that's what you want. You want your manager to take the headlines and leave the team do their own thing and lead them play away, train away, and get the best performances that way.
Yeah, look, I suppose 90% of the Kerry teams down through the years, even the time John was involved, you'll always have ex-footballers involved. But I suppose the main thing is the players themselves. And just looking through the team there tonight, there's a lot of good footballers there. Like, you look at Kieran O'Sullivan, our captain there from Glenflesk. You know, there's great pedigree there from the Dahertys and Ratmore and his dad, Kieran, who used to play with the Glenflesk senior team for years, footballing him. Like, you have Keen McMahon, Rob Monaghan, we're all speaking about him. But the guy I'm really looking forward to seeing, and I spoke to him a couple of times about this and even on air, is Killian Burke there, number 8 in the middle of the field. The team that you announced there that won last All Ireland, I think there's a lot of these guys that could start their legacy tonight. And but things have changed, I suppose, the age group. And you know, even when I was playing with the under 21s, I was still playing with the Kerry, I was playing with the Kerry seniors. You don't really see that anymore. You know, there's a lot of bridges to break down to get into the senior team. So it's probably a longer path. But tonight will be interesting. You know, when Clare here, usually at this level, you know, they'll always put up a good old battle. So we're hoping for a good old battle. We don't want a cakewalk, and I don't think Tomás O'Shea wants a cakewalk either. He wants us to know to see what these boys can do when the heat is on.
Absolutely. And of course we have to give a big shout out to Eamon Hickson, of course, formerly of this parish here as well, and over in Canada now. But Eamon Hickson, of course, was on that team in 2008 as well. So I mean, if this doesn't work out for some of these players, at least one of them will present terror talk in a couple of years' time anyway, so things will look good. Come here, John Kennedy, looking at Clare, last time out, of course, like you said, they kind of surprised Tipperary. They got that goal win as well, got themselves here. Notoriously tough at the best of times, Clare, when they come to play Kerry. Of course, their seniors are on a high as well at the moment, beating Cork and the whole lot. Who should we be looking at on that Clare team, or maybe some of the names that Ambrose and Tim will be mentioning quite a lot?
Yeah, I was talking to a good friend of mine, Michael Considine, up in Kilmore Brickin today. He was just getting a feel for the Clare team. He was telling me Brian McMahon in the middle of the field. His first cousin, Dermot Coughlin, is on the Clare seniors at the moment. Brindy Ruan, his father, was part of the Clare team in 92. And his brother, his uncle Jojo, he's playing at wing forward for them. There's a sub there. He's Curran. He came on and kicked 3 points against Tip. He's a young fella. You know, someone to look out for. He'd be probably sprung from the bench tonight. But I think, you know, under Mikey Nealon and Colin Clancy, the former Clare senior, they'll be well prepared. You know, missing a few players, I think a few lads, you know, aren't available, always a disadvantage for a team like Clare. But, you know, like Liam said, we'll be hoping that it'll be a battle, that it'll be competitive, and, you know, you'll learn nothing from facile victory. So we'll be hoping that Clare will really put it up to Kerry tonight and ask questions. And, you know, another player to look out for, I think, tonight for Kerry is the fullback Andrew Minan.
Yep.
Highly rated from Ratmore. You know, he certainly, these are positions we're looking at, you know, with a view to seniors down the road, the spine of the team, full back, centre back, midfield, and centre forward, full forward. Are there guys coming in, putting their hand up from this under 20 team?
And don't a lot of these guys as well. You know, they were only one kick away from winning in the minor All Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this is a kind of a get up in the horse again for a lot of them, and see could they win in All Ireland. So I think you'll see a very eager Kerry team throughout this campaign.
Liam, picking up that point, the full forward line, Keane McMahon, William Shine, Aaron O'Shea, I mean, look, all East Kerry, I suppose, in one sense, all probably coming through the same as well, maybe Aaron. But I mean, they're all natural forwards as well. Normally we'd have one big full forward and maybe one small little fella, but all these guys can play football very comfortably.
Yeah, and I suppose it goes by looking at that type of a full forward line, you're looking at the way Kerry are going to go and play. They have a small, knacky full forward line, so I'd expect Kerry to be moving the ball lively through the lines and hitting early ball into the full forward line, because these guys will get scores for you and they will move. And then you have the likes of Keith Evans, who we've seen with the last couple of years, fantastic worker. Rob Monaghan, like I said earlier, there's been a lot of talk about him through the school's football, you know, so be looking forward to seeing him. And Thomas O'Donnell there, centre forward, you know, so it'll be very interesting and around the middle of the field. So I don't know, their first outing, so it'll be nice to see what these guys can offer.
Mm-hmm. John, finally, before we hand over to the well-paid fellas like Tim and Ambrose, come here to me, John. What kind of game do you expect it to be played tonight? Because I'm sure Ambrose is going to at some stage say this is awful football, or this isn't the way football should be played. But the level that we're getting to now, football has become a system, and I'd imagine these are going to play a system style football.
There's no doubt. I don't think Kerry will come out and play attacking football anyway. My reading of it is that they'll be defensive. They'll try and keep the score down, stay in the game as long as they can, frustrate Kerry, and you'll catch them on the break. But look, quality always comes through in the end. There's a strong breeze out there. It's going to be difficult playing into the Horn's end. So it remains to be seen. But I don't think we'll see a spectacle, Donal, from what I can gather.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, thanks very much, boys. We'll hand over to the other two boys now. Of course, it's gas. You ended there on quality, because you'll certainly get plenty of quality on the commentary this evening with Tim and Ambrose settling into the stand side of it.